Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Today is May 10th in 2012, and this is Adventures of a Mom Patriot talk show. Our show is designed for moms and moms at heart to learn more about how they can be active in their communities and reach out to their neighbors and make a difference in their communities while still recognizing that we have responsibilities to our families, and that's basically what this show's about. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hey there.
Hey. Well, today's show is going to be pretty interesting. I've got some announcements that I want to cover first. For Florida moms, there is upcoming events that I'd like to encourage people to go to. The Conservative Women Rise Conference will be on May 19th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's going to be held in Lakeland. Some of the topics that they're going to have speakers on are your child's education, K through 12, activating moms in their community, voting for statesmen, human trafficking, Sharia and women, women's property rights, faith in America, women impacting America, and much more. If you would like to get some more information about Conservative Women Rise Conference, please feel free to email me. My email address is mompatriot@ymail.com. And another event that we have coming up is the Florida Parent Educators Association Conference. That's going to be in Orlando from May 24th to the 27th. I'm really excited because Go, G-O-O-O-H.com, Go has a booth at this convention, and we went, we had a table there last year, and the home educators are so much fun to work with as volunteers. And Lisa, you probably can chime in on that about how flexible their time is. And
oh, well, yeah, you know, the one thing that Go recognizes is that it's going to take a lot of people to change this country working together, but each person has their, you know, within their ability to do so. I have never heard of any Go volunteer being anything but excited, you know, about the process and about what kind of change it can bring, what positive change it can bring. You never hear Go people talking about, you know, the struggle or the frustration, because the process is so exciting. And, you know, we are in a big struggle in this country right now, but at Go, because you're working on a tangible way to fix that, you feel propelled, and you don't feel the burnout, I think, that you would feel in other organizations. So it's an exciting place to be and to make a difference.
Well, and last year when we were at the conference, the families, they were really excited about the message. And in Florida, our message is Congress should be full of people just like you. And what Go provides is a tool to identify a candidate in your district that represents your views and values best, and then a plan of action to help get them elected. So I'm excited about reaching out to the home education community. And then in June, Lisa and I will be heading to D.C. I'm so excited.
That could be fun.
Yep. We actually, we were awarded, I guess you could say awarded, or given a scholarship to go to a boot camp that's being put on by FreedomWorks. And the education that we're going to get there and the opportunity to network with leaders from across the country is going to be pretty intense. So I know that I love Washington, D.C. Because I'm a huge history geek, and B, I love architecture. So Lisa can tell you I don't sleep very much, and I tend to walk around the city probably not so smart these days, walk around the city at night and look at all the buildings all lit up. It's pretty.
I don't know. I've been walking around the mall with friends like at 2 and 3 a.m., and it is so beautifully lit, and it's so, you know, you don't feel unsafe. It's brilliantly lit. As a matter of fact, we were walking around taking photographs of the lit buildings, and it was just stunning. And it is the type of place that inspires you to not sleep while you're there, because you recognize what an opportunity you have to connect, you know, with the founders of this nation through the monuments and you know, the hallowed halls that they walked. The marble steps they placed their feet on 150 years ago are still the same marble steps. It's a brilliant, brilliant place. And, I definitely have never felt unsafe. And, yes, I have been walking the mall at the wee hours, too. So.
Well, I mean, one time when I was up there, the D.C. police are just amazingly cool. I mean, they're very aware and concerned. I mean, it was actually sort of stupid. I was walking by myself in the middle of the night, and one of the police officers pulled over and basically tried to figure out what I was doing, and he had to chuckle. I said, well, you know, I think it was the first time I'd been there, and I said, these buildings are just so beautiful. And he, you know, for somebody that's around it all the time, I don't think they recognize the awe that some people get when they first visit the city. So.
That's probably true. You know, it's like any of us who've lived in an area where there's a lot to see. You know, if we've lived on the water or if we've lived in the mountains, you know, you become a little desensitized to actually how amazing and what a privilege it is. Although I have to say, when I lived in the Tampa area, I was always reminded every time I crossed, you know, the bay, I was just the beauty of the water and it is a lovely place. So there are places around this country where we are truly blessed to be able to experience what we can experience there. And D.C. is definitely one of those places. It's, you know, may not be, you know, natural beauty, but it is a proud history that's celebrated there. And I bet if you live there a while, you might not recognize how lucky you are to be there. It's definitely an inspiring place to be. To me, it's second only to Epcot. So that's a very personal preference. Not everybody might feel that way.
Well, I remember standing the first time I was standing at the bottom of the Capitol steps and looking up, and just my breath was taken away, because we grow up looking at pictures of the Capitol in books, but there's just nothing in comparison to standing at the bottom of the steps of the Capitol and looking and just seeing that big, amazing building and all the history that's gone through there. But I digress. Today's show, what Lisa and I have put together is we're trying to offer some projects for moms to consider working with or even participating in some of them. What I'd like to start with is how to become a precinct committee woman. We're going to stick with women. for any of the guys out there, you can become a precinct committee man. What I just found out from some very knowledgeable people is once every 4 years, citizens are able to run as a precinct committee man or woman by filing the paperwork directly with the supervisor of elections office. So you're not having to, like some of the RECs in Florida have actually kept people from joining. I mean,
right.
And made them jump through all kinds of hoops. Now, these are people that are obvious. For some unruly reason, they're trying to keep the Patriot movement out of the RECs. I can't imagine why. They probably think we're troublemakers. But what I was just told last night at the meeting, that we had a meeting with all these speakers, was that two people just recently got a letter from the REC. Now, they've been trying to get in as a member for 10 months, Lisa.
Wow.
They jumped through every hoop that they've been asked to jump through, and they just recently received, two people just recently received a letter saying that their membership wasn't accepted. Now, this is in Pinellas County, Florida. And, I mean, so my opinion on this, I mean, this doesn't just happen to have to be Republican executive committees. It can be the Democrat executive committees. I believe this is available to both major parties. So basically what you're going to do is you're going to download this paperwork. If you're in Pinellas, well, actually, this is Florida-wide. You need to go to restoreourparty.com. That's RESTOREOUR party.com. And it'll give you all the instructions on how to sign up to run as a committee man or committee woman. What's important about this is, I'm just going to focus on Pinellas County. I'm sure it might be statewide, but out of all the precincts in Pinellas County, 85% of them are not represented by committee men or committee women. They're empty slots. So, you know, you go in and you sign up, and if someone else signs up for your precinct, you might be on the ballot. Can you imagine having my name on the ballot? That'd be kind of creepy. But it's interesting stuff, because once you're elected by the people of your district, or once you just walk in, you're actually a voting member of the REC. You don't have to go through all their hoops. They can't keep you out. So this is actually been going on over on the east coast of Florida. The Patriot Movement actually took their REC over because they got enough members in to vote out the people that weren't so friendly. So it's exciting stuff. Did you look into that in Alabama? Did you see if that's available in Alabama as well? Lisa, are you there?
Sorry, my cough button is a mute button because talking to you on the phone. Anyway, in Alabama, actually the RNC here is very Tea Party friendly, and there has been almost no resistance. As a matter of fact, we have a statewide leader for a ladies' Republican group got up at the Tax Day Tea Party here locally in Mobile and said, you know, you kind of alluding to the fact you may wonder why I'm here as a Republican, because obviously, you know, Tea Parties are trying to work, you know, we're happy to work through the system, but if the system is broke, we're going to look for alternate ways. We're not loyal to the system. We're loyal to the Constitution. We're loyal to the people. And when I say system, I mean party system, not constitutional, you know, actual governmental structure, because that's sound. But our party system has got some quirks, as many people know. Even in the parties, they'll agree to that. Well, she got up at Tax Day Tea Party, and here's a statewide leader for the Women's Republicans who said, I am a Tea Partier first, Republican second. And, you know, what she meant by that is she, too, is ready to stand up for the Constitution, even if it means going against the party. And she has done that. So when you have leadership in the state that's strongly embracing of grassroots efforts and patriot volunteers and liberty-minded people, there is a lot of cooperation. But you also have to understand culturally in Alabama, they are very people-centric. They will set aside their egos in order to collaborate and cooperate, because it's about coming together. It's about that social warmth and connectivity that they value so much day to day at the grocery store, you know, sipping iced tea on the porch, the whole proverbial picture that you get of a Southerner is very alive in the attitudes and spirits of these people. And they will come together and work together even if they don't agree. And they will not fuss, fight, and argue about what they disagree about instead of working together. So it's a completely different take. And I really hope that it does become the model for the Patriot Movement moving forward. I feel like it's a very powerful thing to say, you know, I'm going to focus on what I hear you saying rather than what I originally and for the last 10 years have clung to, whether it's the RNC position or whether it's what's going on in our country that I just didn't know about before and I've been refusing to acknowledge because it's scary. No matter what the truth is, they will not sacrifice that truth in favor of their own personal agendas. That's just not done here. it is not done because they're people-centered. You know, if you have an opinion or a viewpoint, they will listen. And often there's a lot of collaboration because they're willing to do that, because they take the time to focus socially. So it's one of those opportunities that we have working within the party to collaborate so fully that we can, as patriots, be constitutionally centered, not party centered, but constitutionally centered for the betterment of the country. So we're in a bit of a unique situation out here, Karina. I really wish that I could just take it, you know, copyright it and slap it on every community we come across. It's a really a nice refreshing change.
Yeah, I keep threatening that I'm going to leave the People's Republic of Florida and move to Alabama because there's just, you know, I'm a second generation native of Florida, and the Florida and the Pinellas County that I knew when I was a kid just seems alien to me now. I'm not that old. But, when we've been talking about just the way that the Patriot groups are working together in Alabama compared to Florida, it's just like it's two different worlds, and we're not that far apart. But anyway, I digress. What I do want to encourage moms to do is, like I said, I'm really averse to putting labels on people. But also, half my family, my mom's side of the family, they're all Democrats. And what I've noticed is that what I'm thinking is they really don't recognize that the Democrat Party that they grew up with 50 plus years ago really has left the views and values that they grew up with. I mean, my entire family is hardworking and, you know, conservative. It's just it's really weird because half of us are R's and the other half are D's. But I think we agree on about 90% of everything. So
absolutely. And I think what a lot of people don't recognize is how easy it is to reach out and talk to somebody who may not be in your political party, because we all have similar interests in terms of keeping this country strong, because we want our families strong. We want our ability to provide for our families to be there. We want to be able to feel safe in our country. And there are many opportunities we have to reach out that we ought to be taking, because we are still all Americans and all people who often have the exact same focus and needs. So we're missing out an opportunity if we don't reach across the aisle and open up dialogues like that.
Oh, and that's a perfect segue into the next project I want to tell everybody about. Now, this project that I'm about to mention it's more of a Tampa Bay area project, but I'd love to encourage the moms to start something like it in their neighborhood. Basically, it's called Proclaim Liberty Throughout All the Land. And if you want to look at what they're doing, if you go to meetup.com/ We the People Proclaim Liberty, and each one of those words has a dash in the middle of it. So that's meetup.com, We the People Proclaim Liberty. And one of the speakers, his name is Hamilton Hansen, and he's so passionate. And, I mean, he just had the room on the edge of their seats because he's very passionate about encouraging people to get into their neighborhoods and not necessarily confront people, but have a conversation with people. And like we were talking about earlier today, I'm feeling myself led to tell everyone, including people in the grocery line. I went to the grocery store about 4 o'clock this morning, and I was talking to the cashier about it. Just having a conversation with people. And what Proclaim Liberty does is they take constitutions and some flyers about upcoming elections, not the candidates, but the offices, so that people understand how many offices they're going to have to vote on in the upcoming elections. So it's truly constitutionally focused precinct activism and encouraging people to get out and talk with their neighbors. I mean, I'm as guilty as everybody else. I don't get out and talk enough to my neighbors, but in the last few months, I've done a couple of walks, and the people that I meet are just, they're really, really neat. And one of the first questions I get are, what party are you with? And what I answer them, and I bring my girls along with me because I think it's an excellent lesson for my daughters to learn how to communicate with others. But I digress. My answer to what party are you with is, I'm your neighbor, and I'm really concerned about the direction of the country. I'm not with the party. I'm just trying to reach out to my neighbors and see if more people in my neighborhood feel the same way with me, you know, as me, and maybe we can get together and try to figure out how to make a difference. And, you know, when I put it that way, in a nonpartisan way, I don't believe I've had one door slammed in my face. But
wow.
A hint for moms, if you bring your kids along, the doors will open a lot more often than just you walking around.
Well, that's the key. If you have your children with you, you know, they immediately get you are not there to dictate to them, manipulate them, cajole them, force them. You know, you're speaking honestly as a parent and a concerned citizen from a place of the heart of a parent. So, you know, that's a very powerful opener to somebody, and you can express all of that without saying a word, just by simply having your children present. It's a very powerful thing. I don't know if this should I add something about Frederick Douglass Republicans here? It just seems to fit, Karina. Would that be all right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I've had the opportunity to, a couple weekends ago, meet Carney C. Smith, and who co-wrote with his brother, Kay Carl Smith, a fabulous book called Frederick Douglass Republicans. Now, Kay Carl Smith, the primary author, was actually in Mobile yesterday, and we had a chance to chat with him. He came and shared with us, and I would just like to read a little section out of the Frederick Douglass Republicans book. It is a guide on how to reach across party lines and across racial ethnic lines into groups that you otherwise would think would shut you out, because they might assume, because you've been walking around calling yourself a conservative, that you therefore that equates to you being not diverse or not, you know, open-minded, because in their world they've been, you know, brainwashed to think conservative equals racist or bigot, which is unfortunate. And it comes down to taking back our language. A conservative means people who value constitutional principles and what our founding fathers did. Not conservative as we want to keep everything, you know, pre-Civil War because we love the idea of slavery. And that's been, you know, sort of misrepresented to them for so long, and it's time that we correct that. And this is what he says from his perspective as a young black man, why he voted Democrat, why he voted the way he voted. And he shares in his book, the first chapter is his testimony. He says, Democrats will get approximately 90% of the black vote. Why? Because just as I did, many black Americans vote Democratic based on deep-seated family voting traditions and not based on Christian values. He continues and says, I lived my political life based on feelings. As a result, I was easily misled, manipulated, and presumed to have the propensity of being thoughtless and childlike when it came to politics. And then he says, you know, he coined a term, says as a political schizophrenic. He calls himself a political schizophrenic during this time in his life. He said he allowed his emotions to keep him from accepting historical and political truth. Feelings should not be used to determine our service to God, he says, nor should it be used to decide how we should vote or with which party we should align ourselves. He said, I had to learn to get past emotionalism and get to the facts. I realized I was living my political life based on fixed emotions and not based on truth and facts. Facts produce faith. And he says, knowing my political values helped me make an educated and informed decision. And it's just a brilliant book. He asked the question, are you a political schizophrenic? Do you vote one way when you claim to have another kind of value system that is not in line with how you vote? And if so, these are people who may have an opportunity for us to reach out, reach across party lines, whatever line, you know, artificial lines the mainstream media or other drama mongers would love to tell us that exist, and reach across and you know, share with them, you know, there are misleading things out there about Republicans in general, but you know, about conservatives specifically, and they're not true. And, you know, the history of the Republican Party is incredibly rooted in diversity and acceptance and freeing slaves and these hugely humanist endeavors that strengthened our country. And so, anyway, he goes into the history in his book, and it's basically a primer for anybody who wants to know, figure out how to open up the dialogue with somebody who may not think, and they may not vote like us now, but ideologically we have a lot in common in terms of character and morality and faith. And so it's a brilliant assessment of where we're at as a culture and how to break through some of those barriers. So I just want to make sure I got that in there.
Oh, definitely. Well, you were in Tampa when we were we got to hear Anita Moncrief speak.
Yes.
She has a great kind of community activism project, and I'm actually looking for the name of it right now. Do you remember the name of it?
I don't.
Well,
not offhand.
What her goals are is to reach out to the African American community and just educate them about all the candidates and get them together. For those that don't know who Anita Moncrief is, she was actually an acorn worker and figured out what was happening that wasn't on the positive side and a lot of illegal stuff going on, and so she became a whistleblower against Acorn and ended up having to hide out because her and her children's lives were being threatened. I mean, she was just such an inspirational speaker and just so neat. But her website is called emergingcorruption.com. So I'd like to encourage people to check that out because she really has a lot of great information on here. And even though I can't find the name of her group, it was a really cool name too. But I'll have to get that for next time. What I'd like to move on to is we also had a speaker from Americans for Prosperity last night, and what they are doing is they're doing a phone banking. So they're basically calling people and asking them, I think it's five questions. They ask them five questions, and then out of that phone banking information, they're going to be able to target the voters that they need to get information to about the candidates, which I think is pretty neat. If you're in Florida and you want to check out what's going on, it's Americans for Prosperity.
Oh, I checked this morning.
/ Florida. Or if you're in another state, just go to AmericansForProsperity.org and look up your state chapter, and you'll be able to find out if you have any active chapters in your state. The next project that I want to talk about, I'm really excited about because, for years with the projects that I've been working on, a lot of them have been voter education because I truly believe I believe an educated electorate will make the right decision every time if they educate themselves, especially on the Constitution and then about the candidates that claim to support the Constitution. And for all the years that I've been doing it, people have just been begging for information on judges. And the difficult part of trying to get information on judges is that, A, they won't take candidate surveys. A lot of them are unable to because the questions, the way they are written, could risk future decisions because they might look like they're biased. And even with the Abigail Adams Project putting together a judicial survey, and they're going to be focusing on Constitution. So I look forward to seeing how many judges fill out that survey. But what we're fighting in Florida, and I just want to read a quote here. It's from the American Judges Partnership. And it says, "Nowhere is the pattern of judicial activism more prevalent than in the state of Florida." And when I told Lisa this earlier today, she was like, "Oh, wow." I mean, for example, the voters of Florida put a petition together to get an amendment on our constitutional amendment, I believe, on our ballot, and it was Florida Health Care Freedom Act, and basically it was asserting our 10th Amendment rights, you know, under the Constitution, to not be burdened under a federal mandate for health care.
Right.
We got the petition. We got all the petitions in. It was ready to be on the ballot, and the Florida Supreme Court came in, and three of the justices said, nope, the Florida voters will not have the opportunity to vote on that amendment. They just threw it in the garbage can. So they basically disenfranchised all the voters that wanted the opportunity to vote on it. So what the project I'm talking about is called Restore Justice 2012. That's restorejustice2012.com. And basically, it's a nonpartisan voter education project about the Florida Supreme Court justices. And what happens is, during the elections, the Florida voters get an opportunity to vote for merit retention. And what merit retention is you get your ballot, and it lists the Supreme Court justices' names, and you either vote to retain them on the bench or you vote to throw them off the bench. In the last election for merit retention, 1 million voters in Florida left everything blank for merit retention because they didn't understand what it meant.
Wow.
So what Restore Justice 2012 is going to be doing is they put together a packet, a PDF file, of all of the justices' decisions so that you can go and review their decisions and then make an educated and informed choice of whether to keep them in the Florida Supreme Court or to remove them. So I'm really excited about it because it's about voter education, and you know me and voter education. I like to educate people. Also, Restore Justice is partnering with Campaign for Liberty, and Campaign for Liberty is going to activist training that wish to participate. So they'll be able to teach you how to get out into your neighborhood and talk to your neighbors if you would like to talk to them about Restore Justice 2012. They're also on Facebook. It's facebook.com/RestoreJustice2012. So how is the Supreme Court in Alabama? Do you have many activist judges in your state?
No. Well, I mean, you have to remember this is it's different. It's odd here. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk.
Right.
The Alabama Supreme Court generally makes very conservative-friendly, constitutionally-friendly decisions. They typically are not activists. However, they have done things behind closed doors and in a boardroom scenario that would make your, you know, eyes bleed. It's a frustrating experience because, of course, it's just like any other political entity. It's prone to different agendas being introduced that are not the people's agenda. Things like power being dispersed in a way that is not truly representative, or in the case of the courts here, following the letter of the constitutional law. So generally, we don't seem to have a lot of problem until you start digging and you hear the testimonies of people who have come against, like the Alabama Supreme Court, like Judge Roy Moore, who was standing firm on his constitutional rights and was totally within the right. And instead of actually elevating his case to the Supreme Court, they got it, they manipulated the situation so that he would never get heard. So, there are things going on that make you go, but I do recognize in this area it's not as bad as in some, So anyway, I think as a nation, though, we do have that, because all the decisions that have taken place on based on tort law rather than actual case law, which is and the case law usurps constitutional law, which should never be the case. So anyway, it's there are problems all over the country. So that sounds like a really effective way to address and stay aware of what's going on in each area. So that sounds like a cool resource.
Right. Well, and I've been on a webinar for them, and I've actually been to a meeting and got to meet the and I'm going to call him a kid, and it's not being disrespectful, but he is a lot younger than me, but he is amazing. And what I look forward to, because this year they're only focusing on the Florida Supreme Court, but I'm really hoping and I'm encouraging him to expand it to all the elected judges. It's what you recognize, it's a ton of research, because you have to look up their decisions and then, present them to the people in a way where they understand, what they understand, all the legalese, and pare it down into a paragraph or two so that people can digest the information. So that's RestoreJustice2012.com. I'm very excited about that project. So the next thing I want to talk about, and we could probably talk for an hour about this, is True the Vote. True the Vote, I'm going to read you their mission statement because it's really powerful. True the Vote is an initiative developed by citizens for citizens, meant to inspire and equip volunteers for involvement at every stage of our electoral process. We promote ideas that actively protect the rights of legitimate voters, regardless of their political party affiliation. We are working to restore integrity to the American system of electing its leaders. With True the Vote, we have deconstructed the entire process, focusing on educating voters, examining the registry, recruiting, training, and mobilizing election workers and poll watchers, training how to collect data all along the way, and then using the data to shape government action and legislative agendas to support desperately needed election code reform. I was able to hear Catherine Engelbreit speak. She is the founder of True the Vote, and she's truly a fireball. I really enjoyed hearing her speak. They started in Texas, and what happened was they went to the voter registry. And for all of you out there that haven't ever gotten a walk list from your supervisor of elections or party, it lists every address and every voter's name for that address. So what True the Vote did is they got the voter registry and they pulled out all the addresses that had more than six voters, and they actually went to those houses to verify that those voters actually live there. And and then they also did some drive-thrus to actually see if the address existed, which I have a personal insight on that. When I was walking precincts up in South Carolina, I had an address, and I walked up, and there was four people registered to vote there, and I walked up, and it was an empty lot. And the campaign I was walking for, I'm like, I need to let them know about this. And what was disappointing is when I got back to the campaign office and I told them about it, they just kind of shoved it off. And, you know, without our voting system having integrity, I mean, it's almost horrifying to me. You know, so and that's what I like. What I like about True the Vote, that's truethevote.org. What I really like about True the Vote is it's truly nonpartisan. They're checking all the voter registry to make sure that if there's a house with 10 voters in it, you're going to want to check out that address and make sure everybody, you know, is living there. And then their other part of their project is, what they do is they also check ages, because you would kind of be surprised at what kind of information you'll get off the voter registry. You get the age, you get your ethnicity, you get whether you're a female or a male. You get the information of how many times you voted. It's kind of cool. But what they're also checking is they're checking for people over 100 years old. Which, you know, there's a few out there, but they're making sure that they're still walking around and living and breathing and can actually personally vote for somebody. So it's a neat project.
Very cool.
And they're also going to be training poll watchers. What you need to know if you're interested in being a poll watcher, you actually have to contact your supervisor of elections office. That's what they're called in Florida. It's basically your elections office in your county, and you have to be trained because you've got to understand the rules. And they're, you know, just like the government, there's a pile of rules that you have to follow. Mm-hmm. But that is what I have about True the Vote. What else were we
talking
about?
Well, that seems like something that now is exactly the right time when people need to be looking into it and getting involved in it. But it's not too late. It's not too late to make an impactful change. Even if there's not a lot going on in your state with True the Vote, every effort you make in that vein allows us to have better record keeping and information so that if the results of a certain poll seem very skewed or problematic, you know, any research that's done to find out about the voters in the area is usable if there does need to be a decision that's appealed somewhere down the line. So it's not for nothing. And they're building a system that will be usable throughout time. So it's not like they're going to be doing this till 2012 and then boom, they're done. This is an accountability system that they're creating, a framework that can be built on year after year, so that, you know, in a few years, there will be no question whenever there's voter fraud, because it'll pop up with a million red flags, you know.
Oh,
so.
You know what else they did in Florida, which what I thought was genius? When you show up for jury duty, apparently there was some people that, when they're filling out their jury duty forms, their reason for not serving was because they aren't legal, that they're not legal citizens. I mean, they were actually writing this on papers. So what they've done, and I can't remember the county it was, but they went in and pulled all the juror paperwork, and compared the voting rolls with everybody that said that they couldn't serve on the jury because they weren't a legal citizen. And it was shocking how many of them were registered to vote, Lisa. They contacted the supervisor of elections office and got them removed from the voting rolls. But I mean, in my opinion, that was definitely the unintended consequence of the motor voter laws.
Well, and exactly. That's the kind of thing. It doesn't take an army of people to research to clarify and get those voter rolls cleaned up. You just need to know where to look. Like, I know one group, maybe it was in Texas, they just looked at the voter registrations themselves. There were people that on the voter registration selected, I am not a U.S. citizen, and still continued to fill it out, not realizing that would create a void situation. They couldn't register to vote. they continued to fill it out, and they were their registration was accepted. They were rubber stamped through. Nobody realized that they had checked that box that says I'm not a U.S. citizen. And they found hundreds like that in one county.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want me to look at the other server,
so they were honest, and that's great, but they had been registered to vote.
Right. Well, we've actually gone through all the topics that we put together. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about since we have 15 minutes left?
Well, I'd love to go back to one thing that I started talking about, because I could talk about this man all day. The Frederick Douglass Republican is one thing I wanted to mention about K. Carl Smith and his co-author brother. The fact that was something that he presented yesterday about Frederick Douglass. You know, most people know that he was born a slave, and, you know, in defiance of the law at the time, he learned to read and write. He essentially taught himself. So he was one of the few literate slaves, and he did escape slavery. Well, he, because he was literate, one of the reasons why he was able to go and become such a force of change is that he went back and read the original documents, the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. And he was able to, because of his original document reading and his understanding, was able to clarify a lot of misnomers of the day. This is all pre-Civil War, so that he could be an advisor to Abraham Lincoln. There are several biographies about Lincoln that show that early on in his career, in his political career, he was not necessarily opposed to slavery. In fact, he often spoke publicly in favor of it, at least in broad strokes. It was essentially people like Frederick Douglass, and probably primarily Frederick Douglass, who changed his mind. So he was instrumental in advising Lincoln, but he also advised four other U.S. presidents before and after Lincoln as well. So, you know, Lincoln would not have written the Emancipation. It's arguable. Lincoln would not have written the Emancipation Proclamation without Frederick Douglass. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal patriot, and most people don't put it two and two together. Lincoln is the first Republican president. Frederick Douglass was his primary counsel of when it came to emancipation issues, and as he was in office. So here is, at the founding of the Republican Party, an ex-slave who is advising at the very, you know, top level of government what the process is. And unlike his early on, he had a mentor, I forget the man's name now, it's in my notes, who was also an abolitionist. And he, you know, but he was a pacifist. So his philosophy was, if we just talk more in the public sphere about abolition, it will come to pass. Well, here's Frederick Douglass, who's actually experienced life as a slave, who only saw his own mother a handful of times in his life, who separated from his family at birth, who was, you know, abused by his master, who escaped slavery, and of course had seen and heard all the stories of abuse that was going on in the time for the other abolitionists and who had escaped slavery, and he had to separate from his mentor because he could no longer he could no longer proceed as a pacifist, because, you know, families were being torn apart, lives were being affected, people were being treated inhumanely, and he just couldn't let that happen. So he became much more activist in his role. And as a leader, he was really the predecessor to Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. got a lot of his writings and quotes, as often as he quotes the Bible, he quotes Frederick Douglass. And so the civil rights movement the positive forces that were operating during that time. I'm not talking about burning down the buildings and beating people up in the name of civil rights. I'm talking about the positive forces for change that were happening. The wonderful oration, the beautiful communication that was going on, and the research and the intelligent decision making and the foresight and forethought that was going into people like Martin Luther King Jr. who were speaking, and how well read they were. That was inspired by Frederick Douglass. He was an original Republican. And so what Kay Carl's message was is, if you're a person walking the street, whether you're white or black, and it comes up in the conversation, well, what are you, a Democrat or Republican? If you're talking to a black person, it really makes an impact to say, I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican. The meaning there that I am one of the original Republicans. I believe in freedom of choice, and I believe in freedom of people, and I believe in the Constitution, and I honor the Founding Fathers. So that's a very different thing than I'm a Republican and, I believe the mass media and I believe the party line and I believe what people tell me to say is true. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican indicates that you're aware of history and you're aware of how conservatism has a solid tradition if that conservatism is rooted in the constitutional principles this country is founded on. And also, hopefully, it will lead people to start reading more and understanding better about Frederick Douglass, who he was, and the real freedom he brought to a whole group of people that had never known freedom in this country. And now that we feel as people in America that we are all in bondage in some way, shape, or form, either a federal regulation is prohibiting us from doing business, or there is some bizarre congressional vote now makes us wonder whether or not we should share how many cans of food we have stored. Our freedoms are eroding, and now we all probably could really do well learning more about Frederick Douglass and how he took this country from darkness into light. So that's just what I wanted to share about Kay Carl and how amazing his story is, because it is rooted in true facts of history and a real depth of spiritual understanding of what it means to go from darkness to light. And I do want to let the listeners know that his book is definitely from a Christian perspective. I think he and his brother both are pastors. So they are, this is all intertwined, their ideology, their political philosophies, all intertwined with their faith journey at this time. But it's an incredibly powerfully positive message, because both of them, but especially Kay Carl, because his is the main voice of the book, grew personally, intellectually, and spiritually during this time that he recalls, that he realized that he was a Frederick Douglass Republican. So anyway, it's just an opportunity to unite us on a common ground and take our language back. And as Kay Carl says, the subtitle of this book is, it's Frederick Douglass Republicans, The Movement to Reignite America's Passion for Liberty. And when you read more about Frederick Douglass and what it, from a slave's perspective, how liberty was precious to him, and the positive steps he took to ensure his own liberty and his wealth. He died an extremely wealthy man. By today's standards, he would be a multiple millionaire. So he would be, his net worth would be something like $25 million by today's standards. He was able to achieve great things, and because he achieved freedom and liberty. So anyway, The Movement to Reignite America's Passion for Liberty. Again, the author's name is Kay Carl Smith. Oh, and if people want to know about his website is The Conservative Messenger. That is the name of his website, The Conservative Messenger. And I don't know if it's .com or .org, but I'm sure if you search The Conservative Messenger, you would find Kay Carl. So, and he will come and speak to groups, especially, in this area of the country in the southeast. He is from north central Alabama, is where he lives. But and he is, he does not charge some outrageous sum, as we have heard other people quoted. He just asks
for his cost to be compensated for him to come and share. And that's perfectly reasonable because it is, he's an incredibly valuable truth speaker and inspiring to hear. So I think, did I eat up most of the time there? I think I came close.
You did a great job. And I'm really inspired. I really am inspired. I'm putting this up on my Facebook wall, too, I've got to tell you. I want to remind everyone to please follow our talk show. It's blogtalkradio.com/adventuresofamompatriot. And there's dashes in between each of those words. It's blogtalkradio.com/adventuresofamompatriot. And when you come up to the, when you get to that link, you'll have the opportunity to click on it says follow. And you can listen to some of our archived shows. I mean, we've had some amazing guests. I've been really excited about all the fabulous people that we've been able to bring on the show and just have a conversation with. That's been great. I really like the idea of the Frederick Douglass Republican. Frederick Douglass Republican. Boy, that's hard to say.
You can practice it. It starts rolling off your tongue pretty easily. I like it because, you know, they being the mainstream media and people who are not liberty-loving, have wielded the race card so effectively. It makes us sound like we are doing something wrong by calling ourselves conservatives or Republicans or whatever our walk of life is if
right.
we are not ourselves in a minority. Of course, if you reflect on it, you know, we're often in a minority in some way in our life. I mean, there's no person on this planet that has not experienced being ostracized for something or degraded for another thing or some, you know, there are times where we have in our lives been treated poorly by other people. So we can relate to the poor treatment of people and how unacceptable it is. So whatever we can do to prevent race to be used as an issue of or a foundation of hate, I am definitely going to try to change that. We have enough to contend with without judging each other by our skin colors and, you know, being ugly to one group over another because of how, you know, where they were born or some such thing. So, and of course, I'm speaking as a Yankee transplant to the South, you know, anyway, you know, one of the first jokes I learned when I moved down south was, you know, a Yankee comes, drives into a gas station, and, you know, and they talk about how the upshot of the joke is, you know, Yankee go home, you know, that's the only answer they'll be, you know, how do I get to so-and-so? Well, you turn around and go back to where you came from. Well, how do I get to this place? No, turn around and go back to where you came from. Yankees aren't wanted. But, you know, yet, if I believe that, I would have been miserable here and never acclimated, but I didn't because I saw that people really were not that way. So I refuse to let people drive a wedge between others if I can at all help it. So anyway, Frederick Douglass Republicans.
Frederick Douglass Republicans. I'm going to get better at that. But and you're making a very valid point. I mean, anyone that I'm going to have to stop watching the news, either that or find some foam bricks that I can start throwing at my TV because I don't want to break my TV. But and my children are wondering about my sanity at times because I'm yelling at the TV. Yeah, that was a confession on radio. But it has in the last couple of months, and this isn't even really campaign season, but the last couple of months have just been a nonstop barrage. Trying to break up the voters on stupid issues. I mean, I don't mean that they're framing them to divide the women's vote or divide us by race or and it's kind of frustrating when you can sit back and see the tactics that they're using to keep us away from discussing the actual issues that they should be dealing with. I mean, up in Massachusetts, I think it was this week, they just banned cupcakes. They banned cupcakes at school events, not at that time.
No more birthday cupcakes? What in the world are parents with their birthday children going to do? That was the only thing we could get that we could afford to have 30 of. So everybody got one on birthday day.
Well, it's not just that, Lisa. They're not allowed to sell them for fundraising. And Girl Scout cookies. And we're going to run out of time. We got like 30 seconds left.
Can we cover that next week?
Yes, definitely. We will have a cupcake show next week, I'm telling you. Well, I really want to thank everybody for listening in, and please follow us on Blog Talk Radio at Adventures of a Mom Patriot. And thanks again, Lisa, for chatting with me for an hour. I enjoy
thanks
our talks it. Together.
I always do, too.
All right. I hope everyone has a good day, a good week, a good month, and a good year.
Peace. Bye-bye.
Bye.